It's Kevers and Rehovos.
Oh, Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah. My father loved Eretz Yisrael. Ah. He loved Eretz Yisrael. He was from the door where, beware if you said a bad word about Eretz Yisrael in front of him. Oh boy. People that lived through the war, we have no idea what Medinas Yisrael means to them, meant to them. Like, such a miracle. I mean, like, yeah, you talk about Halal Yom HaTzmaut, you know, it's like, okay, it's a technical question. Maybe you shouldn't say it. Probably you shouldn't. And I certainly hold you shouldn't say it, because it's in the middle of a process. And you never say Halal in the middle of a process. But, of course they felt like saying it. To them, it was like the biggest, it was like seeing Kriyas Yamsuf. The people who lived through the war and saw the Churban that went on, and then out of the ashes, Medinas Yisrael arose. You don't know what it meant. You can't imagine what it meant to them. I was born, let's say, in 52. Medina was declared in 48, right? Like, I remember my father was, like, he would talk about it in hushed tones. Like, he couldn't believe it existed. Couldn't believe it existed. And this is already when I was already old enough to be aware. Thank you very much. They're old enough to be aware. Okay, let's go by to it. It's a nace. The Chavir Al-Bodah says that's also Shara Bechina. That nace. So we're in the middle of the paragraph on Pejayan Vav, and he's in the middle of, he just said that our survival in Golos, he wasn't talking about returning to Eretz Yisrael after 2,000 years and building up out of desert a whole land, even with cell phones. But he's just talking about sheer survival. He says it's a nace equal to and rivaling Maimed Har Sinai. And it's a nace rival. The Chazal says it's a nace that rivals Maimed Har Sinai. If you want to feel and see that Hashem exists, just as Maimed Har Sinai, there was nothing like it. In Hashemayim, Ishmiaches, Kolo, Liasreka, Balaoretz, Haracho, Esisha, Hagadoylo, Udvorov, Shemata, Mitocha, Eish, Atah, Reisel, Odas, Ki Hashem, Huhu, Elokim, Einod, Milvado. He says, okay, we don't have that. We don't experience that. But we do experience the survival of the Jewish people, which is virtually just as big a nace. Now he continues and he says that we didn't fare so badly in Golos. That's also a nace. He says, and I'm speaking out, I remember we learned this Thursday, I apologize in case you remember, if you were here. According to the Torah, the Klolos in Bechukosai and in Kisavo, every Golos will end in disaster. Why people think America is going to be the exception is like beyond me. Every single Golos, it's a promise, it's a Nebuah, will end in disaster for the Jewish people. Chas v'shalom. Yeah. But it will. What are you going to say? It's in the Torah. But that's how it ends up. But while it's going on, Chavis Al-Dobah says, and this is certainly historically true, check it out with Rabbi Wein, Rabbi Victor Miller, Zatzal talked about this a lot. The standard of living of the Jews in Golos, although they were in Golos, and although they were not autonomous, and they always were under the thumb of the ruling powers, the standard of living was at least equal and usually much better than the goyim around them. It has to do a lot with Pashut, with the Dinei HaTorah, with cleanliness, with relationships between Ish LaIshto, with Kibud Avaim, with Shabbos, with honesty, with not getting shikr whenever you have a spare moment. I mean, it has to do with the lifestyle of the Jew. It also has to do with literacy, with treating people with respect, treating a wife, you know, that's, people beat their wives, like, child labor, I mean, we don't, now, a lot happened in the last 150 years by the Goyim, they're catching up to the Jews, but it's not so long ago that child labor was accepted as poshut, and the way Mishagoyim were treated was accepted as Al-Kaponim, he says, that's a nace. It's a nace worthy of Shar HaBechina. that although the Yidden were in Golos, but their standard of living was always equal to or surpassed the Goyim around them. Now, we're not talking about comparing the town beggar to the count who owned, you know, four counties and five palaces. We're comparing, you're not comparing that and that. We're comparing, you know, Yossel the Shamish with John the drunkard. We're comparing, right? And when you're comparing that rich person with the Yiddish Gvir, so that's what you're comparing. So that's what he's saying. V'yera ki matzavenu yeshu korav l'matzavam. It was pretty near the Goyim. B'chal kolo b'parnasa, the standard of living. V'yeshu matzavenu told me matzavam. Many, many times the Jews fared much better than the Goyim around them. Now, again, he's 1,000 years ago, before, like, the next 1,000 years. But it certainly holds true for the last 1,000 years. Absolutely. We don't look at it that way because we don't know what went on. We only know how it ended up. And it always ended up in a disaster, an expulsion, or pogroms, or chas v'sholem, even worse. That's how every Golos ended up. So that's what we're, like, familiar with. But, okay, that's the klola, that's Golos. That's what's going to happen. But everyday life was not that bad, he says.
So the prosperity of America is not so much of an anomaly.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Right. I mean, it happens to be the greatest prosperity since what's called the Golden Age of Spain. Okay, but he's just talking your average Joe in the street. Had a parnoso, and then he had a living standard equal or surpassing the goyims, and that's a nace. The timsa hamoneim banshei kforim harbeilim harbe yosim and habeinoyim by yudim shabanu. Your average goyish schlepper had a much more bitter, hard, you know, joyless life and existence than the Yid had in the ghetto, whether it was in the ghetto. I was always usually in the ghetto. And this is a promise from Hashem. It's not by accident. You could explain it sociologically. You can explain it. You can explain anything, right? Everything you can always, after the fact, give an explanation for it. Okay? But this is a promise from Hashem. V'afkam zos b'yosem b'eretz oyveihem. Hashem is with us in Golos. Now he really digressed a bit. He went off on a tangent. The shtickle, he says, because he started off talking about the unbelievable Tova and how we have to apply Shara Bechina to Matan Torah. Then he went off on a tangent because he was saying one of the benefits of Matan Torah is the total clarity that the Jewish people got that Hashem Echad. Then he sort of went off on a tangent and said, and we can get that clarity also by reflecting upon the Golos and the Jewish people's survival and the fact that our standard of living throughout the Golos, which logically should have been the pits, was equal on par at least with the Goyim. And now he's coming back to where he was, and he's saying that he will expand the Chiyuv of Hakoras HaTov and the Chesed and the Tova that Hashem did by giving us the Torah in Shaar Avodas Hashem. He's going to devote a special section in Shaar Avodas Hashem to that particular Tova. Here in Shaar HaBechina, if you remember in the beginning, he's just touching upon subjects. When he goes through biology and the human body and the fact that people hear and see and digest food and everything he's been talking about these last few weeks that we've been learning this, he himself says that he's just scratching the surface and mentioning things just to wake us up. But he's not writing a book explaining the Tovas that Hashem does. He's just jotting down the bare bones Roshei Prakim, to which we always add, and that was 1,000 years ago. Imagine what you would have to do now to have it. So here also, the Torah, he's just mentioning it. He's going to expand and elaborate on the chesed that Hashem did and does through giving us this means of connecting to Him in Shara Avodas Elokim, Mitzvah Shem. Let's learn a little more, because really we learned this all last week. So please, we'll learn a little more. Another area to apply Shara HaBechina, your skills that you've been picking up these last few weeks in Shara HaBechina. Hu achidas divrei hamone bnei odom, is how society, it's an ace. You have all of these people, and everybody has a different opinion about just about anything you can think of. And society structures itself so that it can function. It's different ways, it's true. Some have a monarchy. I mean, he doesn't. Yeah, some have a democracy. And those days, no such thing as a democracy. Maybe the Greeks, but no, some have a democracy. And there's communism. Right? We're familiar. There's different systems of governing. Right? The system. So he said, that's an ace. It's an ace that all these people are out there. And so we say, well, yeah, like either we don't think about it, or we say they had to do it, or there would be anarchy in the streets. But that's a chesed Hashem, that people can hammer out a way for their society to function is something to be thankful for and to apply Shara HaBechina to.
That every society has a structure.
Yeah, that the human race, with all the people there, and everybody has a different opinion how to do everything, right? Just come to any shul, right? Everybody has a different opinion how anything should be done, right? So, and he said, it's an ace that the world exists and functions, that people get together and they decide on a modus operandi for society to function. All of those people come to a conclusion, even though everybody has different opinions. Lemanos aleim achad mehem. He's talking about a monarchy. I guess in his days that was the most prevalent system. They agree that there should be a leader. Yikablu aleim mishmato v'yutzai sol itzivuyo v'az horoso v'yiru mimaloso v'hu oz yashgiach aleim, and he is a king. V'yochon osom v'yishpot b'neim b'tzedek, hopefully v'yadrichem b'meshayishpot tovas klolusom. He looks at the greater good. It's an ace. Everybody has their own agenda. Everybody has their own self-interest. So everybody, this is what it says in Pirkei Avos. Have they mispalel b'shlomo shel malchus she'ish shel molei moro'o ish yisrael chayim b'lo'o. Dog eat dog out there. Everybody's clawing at everyone else to get ahead. So it's an ace. Hashem made a system that people will, out of necessity, but I mean that's the chesed Hashem, will get together and they'll elect a head, and he won't look at his personal agenda the way it's supposed to work. He won't look, and really every system functions this way. It just takes on different forms, whether it's communism or capitalism or socialism or monarchy or republic. You know, everything is really a way of creating the common good, where each individual gives up a little of their own rights, of their own schusim, because there's a greater good. Every system, that's the only way it can work. And they do it in different ways. If you have a monarchy, so it means, okay, we're trusting you to decide what the common good is. That's what he says. If you have a democracy, so it says we're leaving it up to the people to elect representatives and to have laws. But if out there everybody's giving up, communism is certainly that way, right? I'm talking about economic communism, socialism, everything. You give up, so that's what he says, that's worthy of Shara HaBechina, that people figure out a way for their society to function. Okay.
They didn't really decide themselves, it was imposed on them.
How do you know? He's saying they got together and they decided Dora Flaga. They got together and they made Nimrod the Melech.
In most cases, that's not really happening.
Zog still, but the institution of a Melech is man generated. That's what he's saying. You sang that like that. He sang it like that.
Okay.
Okay. Not logical that a powerful person arose and intimidated 2 million people. Not like that. The institution of a melech was man-generated. People got together. It says Beferish and Chazal that they got together. The first melech was Nimrod. They got together and they were mamlech Nimrod. They said, "You run our society." Then, after once it's in place, then certainly you know someone can assassinate Nimrod and say, "Now I'm in charge." You know, it's also a nays because if 2 million people, we saw it now in the last 20 years. Right? If 2 million people would decide to get up and march, the most powerful king, the most powerful tyrant would melt in 2 seconds. Right? You get, if all the Chinese would decide to march, and there's, even if they stood there with a machine gun and just mowed them down, they would overrun them. How many people can you have? It needs the acquiescence of the governed, that's for sure. Okay. Please take cookies. Lili Nishmas, my father, mashallah. Why? You looked surprised when I said that my father learned for 40 years, 35 years, 40 years, a half hour before. Somebody looked surprised. You finished a lot of masechtas. I said half a shas, but I don't know. I certainly remember him every few years making a seal. And there were never more than 2 people there.
Half hour when?
What?
Half hour when?
Shabbos morning. That's why I said the inspiration for the Nachshir is maybe my father, Allah mashallah. He learned Gemara. I remember definitely him making a seal on Ksubis and on Babu Basra. I remember those 2 masechtas. And you learn it a half hour once a week. It takes you an awful long time to learn. But we're talking about 30 years, 40 years. If I would stop and think, 40, you know, around 35 years. And then Yaakov Shir. Okay. Kufnun Gimel, let's do. Yeah, there they are. I have prepared cups now. What? No, I prepared them before. It's my cups. I prepared them before. They fell down.
It's okay.
Kufnun Gimel. Whoops.